Mystery Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on Monday, the 27th of April. It's Carl and Linda Bott, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. We also are going out on 1670, so you can take us all the way to Weaverville and Cedarville and Williams. And our toll-free numbers here are 1-800-521-1989. And yes, we survived the death race. Joined today by our producer, well, as usual, Frosty.
Good morning. So is it almost May, really?
It's almost May. This week.
Wow.
Four more days.
Yeah, four more days. It's going to be May.
Oh, it's fast.
Wow. Hooray, hooray. And then, of course, my soulmate, fellow driver, and confidant, Linda.
Good morning. Why don't you just get down to it? I feel blessed to be alive. And I'm not kidding. You know, it's one of those things you don't really know until you're in it. You can talk about it. You can watch it. You can think you can be around it. But till you're in it, you really have no idea. Well, so the best described by you.
Well, I knew kind of that we maybe have a few concerns.
Talking about Friday night's race.
Race for the Veterans out at the Shasta Raceway there in Anderson District Fairgrounds.
Well, we were racing for the veterans. I don't know what they were racing
for. Well, they were racing because it was $1,000 first prize. And let me tell you something. You put $1,000 first prize out on the plate, and here come the pit bulls.
I think they wanted to take us and lick us like a stamp and stick us up on the wall, actually.
Well, what happened was I kind of knew we might have some problems when we saw all the rest of the vehicles showing up. And I saw one of them doing body work. I swear this is absolutely the truth. They were fixing their fender wells with a chainsaw. They're using a chainsaw to rip off some of the metal there. And I said, you know what? These people may be a little more serious than we were led to believe.
This was a chewy crowd, folks.
Yeah, this was the one. This is where we said, okay, this is for novice drivers. We're going to slow down everybody's speed by putting tires on the track, which they did, and by wetting the track down a lot. That'll keep the speed down. Okay, wrong. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and we're going to tell you how it feels to race.
How it feels to be alive. We'll be right back. This is Carl and Nabot here at Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Rob Logan. Rob's an attorney that will go to the wall for you. Civil, criminal, bankruptcy. Phone number is 241-0126. That's Rob Logan, attorney at law. You know, the show is, we're not going to talk the whole show is not going to be about the race. We are going to talk a little bit about it because so many people put in so much time, effort, and money to help us get ready for this Racing for the Veterans, which was to raise money for the Missing in America Project, which we did. But we want to discuss some other things that have been hitting in the news today, too. What's going on with the swine flu? Is it going to be a pandemic? We've got a lot of information about that. We're going to talk about some bills that are in the legislature, a couple other things. But we have a caller who's going to talk about a fundraiser, and I can't think of a better way to start it off because he's from the Order of the Purple Heart. Gunny, Bill Phelan.
Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Colonel.
We think we need a Purple Heart after Friday.
Okay, well, tell us what's going on, Bill.
Linda, thank you very much and to you and the good Colonel and especially to KQMS for giving us the opportunity to tell the folks about this event. As you know, we're a congressionally chartered veteran service organization. We raise money for the local veterans community and their families. And we're putting on our, I think, seventh annual golf tournament at Gold Hills this Saturday. It's a 1 o'clock shotgun start. And we would just love everybody, you know, realizing that this is a very, very tough time for families, for businesses, and people do, in fact, have to be prudent with their recreational and their charitable dollar. But anybody that could come out and play with us and write it off, we would just be delighted.
And that's going to be, and so how do they get a hold of you so they can sign up for this?
Colonel, my cell phone number is area code 530-241, that's my home phone,
339-5449.
Or they can call Jeff Thomason in the pro shop at Gold Hills.
Great.
Okay. And so you've got deals for businesses that can sponsor people, and then and again, a lot this money goes to local organizations, right?
Yeah, it stays right here in the county, Colonel. It doesn't go. We aren't assessed anything by the national or the state. I could spend a whole hour telling you some of the things that we do, but I think people that are familiar with our organization, and my guys are all volunteers. We eat, we pay for our coffee, we pay for our dinner. Every nickel that we get goes back into the community.
Well, you know, and that is what I've noticed about a lot of the organizations around here, that everything is voluntary. So, but I know that the Order of the Purple Heart, of course, for people that somehow are not familiar with this, everybody that's in this has been wounded in combat, and is not, you know, these people have bled for our country.
And we participated last year. It was a lovely raffle dinner.
Great.
It was so much fun.
Linda, you did a marvelous job raising it. You know, you and
Patty Bay.
Patty, our heroes. You raised a heck of a lot of money selling the raffle tickets. I'm sorry you're not going to be able to, you know, prior commitment.
I know. I have a family commitment that, you know, how it is. It's wedding stuff. It's wedding season. But Bill, I just want to tell our listeners that go out Saturday and support a worthy cause. It is a lot of fun, and they serve a great meal, and they have a great raffle.
You know, we support a lot of organizations around here, but I tell you, you know, the Order of the Purple Heart, this golf tournament is right at the top of the list.
Well, thank you very much. And one, if I may, before I go, the sooner that we get an RSVP, the better. They don't necessarily have to send me their check today, but we need to tell the chef, we want everybody to have plenty to eat.
Yeah.
And you know that the buffet is tri-tip and chicken. And
it's great.
It's marvelous, but we do need a sort of a heads-up RSVP, so there'll be plenty of food for everyone.
Okay. We will do that. Hey, thanks a lot, Gunny, and thanks for everything you do.
God bless you, Colonel. Mm-hmm. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Okay. Now,
going back to Friday night.
Now, we want to thank so many people. You know, first of all, our friends Richard and Edith Jones, who got us into this. So thank you, RJ and Edith.
And Steve and Tammy.
Now, they were working on it, but so did, you know, Steve and Tammy, Steve Jr., and so many people gave money to support the Missing in America project. We received well over $2,000, which will help send the urns back to Arlington. And we want to really thank our community.
Thank you, North State.
Right. Well, I tell you what, when we started this race, it was 200 laps. And of course, through just luck, and I swear it's luck.
Thank you, Shasta Nissan, for the red jumpsuits.
We started by drawing for who starts on the pole position, where you start. And I didn't want to. I drew number one. So we were going to lead this race out. And I knew when we started that these people were serious, is that we were in line getting ready, and the guy behind me bumps us already. We start, and that first lap, it's bumper cars. A car comes sliding around the corner, gets hit, comes right into us, hits us so hard, spins us around on the first curve. So we're heading backwards down the track.
Facing the cars.
Slid into the infield, came back out. I bumped the car out of the way, and we got to the first turn, or the third turn, and the engine quit.
My teeth were jarred. We got hit that hard.
Busted the rim.
Yep.
Busted the tire. And there we were, stuck on the track for 90 laps. We were stuck in the
99.
Infield. Well, 99 laps. So there we were, and thought, well, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, at the break, I'm sure everybody was, you know, people that came out to see us were disappointed. We don't blame you. However, the push car came out, got us off at the half, at the intermission, took us over back to the pits, and everybody swarmed in this car to see this truck to see what was going on. As it turns out, we got hit so hard that it moved the fuel tank 4 inches over and knocked the hose loose, the fuel line loose. Edith, who was the smallest one there, they cut a hole in the tonneau cover, which is sheet metal. She crawls into it with a knife and a pair of pliers, and she fixes the fuel line. They repair the tire. The race starts again, and here goes the Missing in America Project truck out on the track to run 100 laps.
Carl was driving. I was supposed to drive the second 100 laps, but I looked at him when we came off, and I thought, if there's any way we're going to get back on that track, I could take one look at this man and know it's not going to be me. So he was the driver, and I have to tell you that I was the passenger in these bucket seats through 100 laps, and Carl went back to his security Iraqi world where he became I don't know who you became, but you just were out there with these guys who were so very serious in their competition.
They were running fast, and they were serious. And
you were smack in the middle of them.
And we got hit a few more times. We pushed some people out of the way. We ran for 100 laps.
And we finished.
Got the green, got the checkered flag. And it was really, I tell you, we felt, what a sense of accomplishment. But we couldn't have done it without RJ and Edith and Steve and Tammy and all those other people that swarmed all over that truck from the different pit crews.
And
they came over to help.
Our friends from the Patriot Guard Riders.
Yeah, Dave and Cheryl and Richard and everybody was out there. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get on to some other things here.
And we won a plaque.
But that was the thing I was going to get to when we came back. So when we come back, we're going to tell you about what we won out there. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley supported the Missing America Project. They supported us in this race. They have the finest tobacco emporium here in the state, and Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want. Now, before we go to the phones, we were awarded at the halfway point, and everybody's trying to fix the truck.
Not sure we're going to go back
Not
out.
Not sure if we're going to go out. The other pit crews had voted our truck the best-looking truck or car in the race. So that was pretty cool, and we of course gave, you know, that belonged to RJ, Edith, Steve, and Tammy. Dan, good morning.
Hi, I just wanted to know if you guys had fun.
You know what? I had a great time. Linda had the tough job. She had to ride 100 laps with a crazy man driving, and people, I mean, we were bumping and rubbing all the way around that race. And it's a tough job where she was at. And she was giving directions. She was telling me people were coming up on the left, the right, the front, the back. So, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it was kind of a mixed blessing there.
Oh, yeah. Being the rider's got to be really tough because there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing she could do except hang on and point at things coming up. You know, cars sliding across in front of us, things like this.
I mean, there's nothing you can do yourself when you're the rider, I guess.
You know what? It would be, I don't know if I could be a rider. But she did. And
he owes me. I'm telling everybody.
I owe her big time.
He owes me. You're going to sit in that position and let me drive next time.
But isn't it the best rush?
Well, I tell you what. You know, we were talking about that. I said, you know, I've jumped out of planes a lot of times. And that's exciting. It gets to be after a while a little bit. You know what you're doing with that. But running at it's. You can't explain
awesome.
It. You can't explain it when you're coming down the straightaway and there's three cars abreast just as fast as you can go and you know you're coming into the curve.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to say the Zen transcendental meditation people always want you to be here now, be in the moment that you're in.
Yeah.
And that does it.
You know what? You're absolutely right. And, you know, the fact is that.
And then when they watered down the track.
Oh, that was the other thing, too, is they, you know, to slow people down, they watered the track and put tires out in the middle of it. And the only thing that did was kind of like, you know, you could see people spinning
their
tires. And
they're spraying it in, they're spraying it where it's hitting your windshield and hitting your face.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going too far, I think.
Well, at nighttime. Wait, this is at nighttime.
People were taking the tires out. We're going to take the truck down to Tobacco and Brew on Wednesday. So people can come down and take a look. Because, hey, Chuck and Kathy, your part of the truck was just ripped off.
Oh, geez.
I'm just telling Chuck and Kathy, you know what? We'll bring that part with us. But that was ripped off the truck. You know, Commander Gibson, you know, Ted and Pauline Ariano, that was bent back. It's kind of like covering your names at
this
point.
I heard a crunch at one time. I said, wow, we just ran over something. It was a complete crunch, metal crunch under the wheels. But to answer your question, I'm sure I just have to share that Carl was absolutely awesome. And I knew at one point, like I said, he went into the zone. And no matter what I said at a certain point, I kept saying, get out of the pack, get out of the pack, pull back. back, pull back. He was like, argh! He just turns into this animal. Oh, man.
Well, are you guys going to be at Tobacco and Brew, too, with the car?
Yeah, we're going to bring it. We'll bring it down Wednesday.
Well, about what time?
Oh, probably around noontime.
Okay. And, Another thing I do, when I go racing, I have a ritual. If I have a successful night, which basically means the car's in one piece and I didn't embarrass myself, I light up this Dominican that I have gotten at Tobacco and Brew and enjoy it on the way home from the racetrack I race at down below Chico.
Oh.
Well, you know, that's a good idea. You know, but you know what? When you get out of there, it's kind of like, you know, you've been shot at and missed.
There's a couple guys.
You feel pretty good.
You're spent.
Couple guys in this race were really expert dirt racers.
Well, that 85 car that just finished you, he was one of the best late model drivers at Shasta Speedway. I work with him. He's a good friend of mine, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you know, they treated us real well out there. I mean, they could have pushed us. Hey, we got to take a hard break here, Dan.
Right. Racers are good people. Goodbye, you guys.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
We had some nice tequila to close our night.
Hey, Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Welcome back. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Carl's over there boogieing. Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. The phone line's here. 221-1402. We want to hear from you. But this portion of the show is brought to you by New Image Studios. That's www.newimagestudios.net. How about going to their website and finding out their very special Mother's Day deal that they're doing? It's a Love Your Mom portrait special. Go join their blog, www.newimagestudio.net. Let's get to the phones.
The hero of the race, Edith, good morning.
Hey, well, there was a lot of heroes in that race. Number one is the people who were brave enough to get inside that truck. Two is the fact, for all the damage you took, we reviewed and looked inside, and just so you know, your roll bars never moved. But you guys did a great job. I'm real proud of you. You held through, and even though you got to do an intermission in the first 100 laps, you really gave them heck on the second half. Also, on one of the websites that I look at, they were talking about how, as another racer, they were very proud to be able to race against that truck for the veterans.
Wow.
And I also would like to put a big thank you out there to all the drivers out there. You were very considerate of the fact that we were a volunteer truck. We were doing fundraising. I think they worked really hard at working around you, and everybody worked really well together. And as far as Shasta Raceway goes, it was a clean race, and it was really pleasing.
No fights afterwards. It was, you know, and you're right. And they were considerate. You know, they had all raced before, and getting our introduction in that race to racing was somewhat a little more difficult, probably, than just racing 10 laps.
So. Yeah, you guys did a great job. We all had a good time, and that was the main thing. And even us in the pit, everybody in the pits was cheering for you. But I need to let you guys know there's a lot of people out there that really care and love about you guys, because there were quite a few people that came up and asked, are you sure they are safe in that truck? You know we love them. And
now,
most of them were wearing very, very black vests and were very serious.
Yeah. Now, how fast do you think people were going, truly, if you had to guesstimate?
If I had to guess, I would say it was probably right up there with what I would call if you come in on a standard Saturday night, which you watch the Bombers. You know, I mean, on an open track. You guys had pretty much an open track because they knocked that one tire out of the way right in the beginning, which made it pretty much an open shot. So I would say you're probably racing out there with people that are doing, you know, close to 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably out there pretty close to free, you know, just under, I would say, standard town speed.
Doesn't seem fast until you're on a track like that and people are bouncing.
And it's wet.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the whole thing. And the thing is, the track wasn't near as wet as they usually make it, because they had a big show Saturday night.
Right.
So you had a little bit more of a drier hard top and such. So, but, I mean, you guys held your own. You did great. You came out. You both looked like you'd had a good time, and that's what it was about for us. And everybody that was in the pits for you was having a good time. And
we raised money for a great cause.
I was going to say, and the best thing is that we did the best thing in the world for the vets and getting this going and raising the money like we needed to, and that was a good thing.
Well, thank you so much, Edith. Thank you. Thank you for being our rock.
Hey, we won. We won. We may not have won, but we won.
Yeah, we saw a black checkered flag, and everybody's standing and talking about it.
You know, you're still, even though it's your first race, you know, you're still up one on Richard because he didn't see a checkered flag last year.
Well, I tell you what, the way that truck is set up, anybody could race
it. We still might do the powder puff, or we might do the breast cancer awareness, but I'm driving.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. There it is. She's sitting out there ready to go again.
Well, hey, thank you so much, Edith.
All right.
Yeah. Bye. Thanks. Right, bye-bye. And we also want to thank all the people that came out the very next day on Saturday. Was a tribute at the Igo Cemetery that was absolutely gorgeous. We rode the motorcycle out there with, or the Harley, excuse me, out there with our friends Richard and Patty Bay and attended an absolute wonderful memorial.
It was a dedication of a memorial, the first one, I believe, in the United States for the Special Forces. And Major John Kleckner, who heads up the Special Forces Association here, had kind of spearheaded this with the rest of the Special Forces cadre that's in this area. And you can't say enough about them. The fact is that it was a beautiful ceremony. We had, you know, dignitaries there. We had people from the Special Forces Association, the national level.
And two
Medal of Honor recipients. Both of them are just fine gentlemen. One lives, in fact, right here up around in Trinity, in the Trinity area, Weaverville.
Trinity Lake.
But it was a heartfelt, it was a very touching memorial for the thousands of Special Force veterans on active duty now and retired, and those that they've lost.
The color guard, the gun salute, the playing of taps.
Everything. Everything was first class. Native American
tribute. Right. It just was wonderful. So thank you all that came out to that and all that were involved. It was a moment of again, another proud moment of Northern California patriotism.
Which Northern California seems at times to have a lock on when other parts of our state doesn't. So, okay, let's talk about something that's really hit the newspapers and the news real heavy. And that's, is there going to be a major pandemic in the world with the flu, with the swine flu? It's hit Mexico. They've had some deaths down there. And there's a lot of questions like, just what is a pandemic anyway? It's a flu pandemic occurs when you have a new flu virus emerge for which humans have little or no immunity and then spreads easily from person to person around the world. So, you know, the good thing is, if there's a good thing, is that we have much better communications. We have much better ways of spreading the word about this flu. The bad thing is that we have such, it's so easy to travel that people can be exposed to the flu, have it in them, fly all day from one country to another, land in our country, show no symptoms at all, get into our country. 2 days later, they've been hit and now they're spreading the flu. The difference on this flu, it seems like, is that it could be strains of different types of flus that have come together. Every year, we have about 32,000 people die from the flu.
In America.
And this is just regular strains of flu. When you get into something like this, which is even stronger, then we start to have, you know, problems containing it. But still, even with the SARS that was a few years ago, we had very few deaths in the United States attributed to that. One of the big reasons is our doctors are looking for it right now. So if somebody comes in with the flu and they say, okay, they can start treating that. The other thing, too, is that the World Health Organization, U.S. and countries around the world have stockpiled millions of doses of antivirals that can help fight this swine flu. And the U.S. has a real detailed pandemic preparation plan that was drafted under President Bush. So I think, you know, what happened under the SARS thing, they took a real good look at that and said, what can we do? In the U.S., we've had 20 cases have been confirmed. This was as of this morning. And the federal health officials declared a public health emergency. Now, one of the few things the Department of Homeland Security has done correctly, and I can name the number of things they've done correctly, like two, is this. What they've done is they've declared it a state of emergency. That does not mean that it's a state of emergency. What it means, it allows them to release the antiviral, the injections for the influenza early so people can have them standing by. Now.
This is a good thing.
We've got to take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about what are some of the symptoms of this, and then And what you can do to prevent it, which is, or help prevent it, which is even the most important thing.
Are you going to talk about the email that came in from your...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too.
Yes.
This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Yeah, hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS, Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. They will do the best deal for you possible on jewelry. They'll buy in gold. Their hours are 9:30 to 4, Monday through Friday, and you can reach Four Winds Jewelry at 222-2750. Okay, now what are some of the symptoms of the swine flu? And they're just like anything else. Fever, nausea, weakness. You've got body aches. This is an indication that you're coming down with the flu, and you should go see a doctor because doctors are now looking for the swine flu variants. How can you help prevent catching this? Just like any other cold or flu, wash your hands. That's the biggest thing. Wash your hands. Keep your hands away from your mouth. It can be spread through contact. Use a hand sanitizer. Now, they're not perfect, but they're better than nothing until you can get to a place where you can wash your hands. I don't know how much, you know, everybody in Iraq was carrying hand sanitizers because of all the mess you're getting into all the time. But this is what you need to do is just keep yourself aware of what's going on. If you start coming down with these flu-like symptoms, see your doctor because the doctors are watching for it, which is why they can pick these up quicker now. So is there anything to panic about yet? No, there isn't. But there may be things in the future that happen that could be a national catastrophe. This is just an example. I mean, if this got out of hand, which I don't expect it to, but if it did, or what about that asteroid that passed within, very close to the Earth? If it had hit, it said it would have taken out 800 square miles. What about an earthquake? What about a flood? Well, I don't expect a flood up here. Are you prepared? Are you ready to take care of yourself and your loved ones for periods of maybe up to 2 weeks if you didn't have electricity, food, or water available? Are you ready to take care of yourself?
We've been asking that on a regular basis now, and it's not this. We're not coming from this, you know, doomsday state of mind. We're thinking that what if, just what if, are you ready? And we're not.
We're not, you know, and we're the first ones, you know, even after talking about it, and we start to get ready, and then we stop. The thing is that we have friends that when we talk to them about it, they go, well, yeah, you know, we've got food, and, you know, we've got food set aside, you know, we're off the grid. So, you know, those kind of things. And the point is that a very small percentage of people are. Now, we got a letter that was delivered here from a group of people here in the Reading area that urged us to do this, to talk about this problem. And that's why we're going to do that. We're going to have this show Thursday. We're going to bring in some experts and talk about how you can survive. What are some of the things you could do? And just simple things like, have you got food stored? What about water? What if the water was cut off today? How would you take care of your water supplies, your water requirements, not just for drinking, but for other health purposes?
Water purifiers.
Yeah. What kind of water purifiers would you use? What happens if you don't have electricity? Do you have something as simple as a flashlight with a whole bunch of extra batteries? How would you cook your food? Would you have food there that you could just eat out of the container, like cans, you know, like canned beans or whatever, and that you could eat it? It may not be comfortable, but do you have a way of heating that up? And a lot of people say, oh, you know, I've got a gas barbecue. You know, that would work. That's fine. As long as that gas barbecue isn't tied into your main gas line, like many people have, which that will be gone. And then what happens when that propane runs out? So you don't have a full tank of propane. What are you going to do then? So do you have an extra tank of propane there? Do you have water set aside? Do you have vitamin supplements? Do you have a first aid kit that can take care of major, when I say major, not surgery items, but major items that could happen? Do you have ways of keeping warm if it's cold? Do you put a safety kit, do you put a survival kit in your car when you're driving? We've heard terrible stories about people driving off the road, getting lost, and then a whole family dying.
Or just taking a long, beautiful walk up in the mountains and something happens and they can't get back, such as a wildfire, they're stuck. A wrong turn.
And now they're there overnight. Are they ready? So these are things we're going to talk about Thursday, and even more serious consequences is if there is a large natural disaster, is taking care of yourself and your family during times of maybe of some unrest that needs to be addressed too.
Well, when we were finding some of the items that we needed for the Missing in America truck, we had two fire extinguishers generously donated by Safeguard, which is a great place.
Yeah, Safeguard Fire Prevention.
If you're going to have your fire extinguishers replaced, this is the place to go. They're on Sonoma and Railroad. Wonderful people there. And they do have kits. And it just really instilled in us also, oh, my gosh, we need to talk about these kits. And that's why we're going to this week talk about Are You Ready? And we'll have a list of things.
Right. And there's people right here in town, businesses right here in town that provide this and will provide some expertise. This is Carl Lunderbott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. The truth on Churn Creek across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, News Talk, 1400 KQMS. Carl Lunderbott. Go, Linda, go.
Okay, according to Earth Week, we really want to know how you feel about this. They're saying the British researchers have stirred up a pot of controversy with their findings that point to overweight people contributing to global warming more than their slim counterparts. According to some writings in the International Journal of Epidemiology, some people were saying that changing diets and less physical activity have resulted in the average UK citizen consuming 19% more food than 40 years ago. So that has created a nation in which 40% are obese compared to only 3.5% that would be expected in a normal population. They are saying overweight people can be responsible for the emission of a ton more of the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide than thin ones, mainly due to their eating more food and the additional fuel needed to carry them in cars and other vehicles. When it comes to food consumption, moving about in a heavy body is like driving around in a gas guzzler, the authors say.
Well, okay. Now, you know what? I just got to love this one. I just love this one. Now, because now we're going to talk.
Frosty's over there cracking up.
We're talking cap and trade for being overweight. And here's Frosty can make some money because Frosty's underweight. Well, you see Slim. So what you have is somebody that's 25 pounds overweight will have to give Frosty money every month. So that they can, they're trading because they're going to eat a little more. So Frosty has to continue to eat less. You know, in fact, this is a way to get some of the African countries and some of the other countries that are suffering from starvation, get them back on the right track. Because America is getting obese, and UK is obese, and parts of Europe is obese, and so we could just like do a cap and trade and send them money every month. So a family, pick out a thin family over there, and then we can continue to eat and pay them.
No, all joking aside.
I'm not joking.
Why do you think, have they done studies, why do you think that America is so much heavier than it used to be? Back in the 60s, you only saw in school maybe one or two people that were carrying an extra 20, 25 pounds. Today...
Well, this is a subject that we can get into really heavy tomorrow. No, but you're right. But think about what happened. You used to have gym every day. You used to go out and play at night. You didn't have computers. You used to eat
natural foods.
And parents would kick you out of the house. Go out and play. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen still, but now people are afraid to send their kids out to play. They're afraid, what's going to happen out there. So it's one of those things that this is a big subject. And, this is perfect to be talking about tomorrow. Now, tomorrow we're also going to have the Highway Patrol in here.
And Trudy Pratt's going to call sometime this week. We're going to have her on. I'm not sure which day.
We're going to be talking, of
sunscreen.
Course, Thursday. We're going to be talking about how to survive that catastrophe. And we're going to also do...
Let's take a last-minute caller.
Hey.
Hey, Randall.
Hey, Frosty needs to lose 25 pounds?
No. I said Frosty's perfect.
Oh, okay.
No, Frosty, what he gets is somebody that's 25 pounds overweight.
Right.
They're going to pay Frosty not to eat so they can continue to eat.
Well, I just lost all the mocha almond fudge that I gained over winter, which is 30 pounds, and I figured that's 3,500 calories per pound. It's roughly 110,000 calories. I figured I could sell him the 25 pounds of carbon fat credits that he needs, and he can just stay good.
There, you know, that's good. You know, let's think about this.
Junior.
Now, you know, this is something that we ought to have, like, cap and trade
exactly.
for weight here right in our town. You know, we can list it on places like McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken, which has that bowl, and which still...
Right. Well,
right,
Carl, you know how much CO2 I saved by getting rid of 110,000 calories?
You know what? You're a hero. You should get something national recognition for saving that much energy for this country.
Now, the ice cream people are going to be very upset at me for not eating another 40 gallons of ice cream this year. But,
well, you know what? We all got to take up. You know, we all got to take a hit on this.
And we're on the way to the gym.
That's right. Hey, okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Randall.
For me.
Hey, you know what? We got to get out of here. But tomorrow we're going to be talking about this. It's cap and trade for people that are a little bit heavier than other people. And tomorrow also I have the Highway Patrol. It's going to be a great week. This is Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?